Okay.
Now it is. Fourth chapter, book of Deuteronomy. I think it was last Sunday, maybe. We kind of got in a little short discussion in the back there, talking about Lord being in darkness. He's always dwelled in darkness as far as man's flesh is concerned, especially he never could see him. But I often think about the idea of trying to paint a picture of spirit. This won't work. They've tried and tried to paint one, and I'm seeing it more and more and more. Now I see a little doll they've got or something that is supposed to represent Jesus that they're selling. It's something else to sell, their merchandise and everything. But in the 14th verse of the 4th chapter, Deuteronomy, and said, "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke of you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire." And certainly we haven't since saw any similitude of God Almighty. It's just not possible. Man cannot see the Spirit. Now you hear it, but can't see it. And the Lord spoke, and Moses heard, and the people heard, but they didn't see. They didn't see anything. It goes back to Moses when he asked the Lord to see his glory. He put him in the cleft of the rock, and then he put his hand over him, that he had only see his behind parts. What followed after him, the glory that followed, is what they saw, what Moses saw at that time. But it's impressive that not only did he put him in the cleft of the rock, but he put his hand over him when he passed by. I really wanted to go to begin with this morning. In the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, it's going to be along the same line, but for a beginning point, 19th chapter of Exodus, in verse 16, it said, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on the smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire." Our God is a consuming fire. Nothing touch the Lord. Nothing can see him. If a man could see him, it would blind him. let alone kill him, because of the glory that excels in the Lord. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. The Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. But he didn't go up until he was called to go up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord and gaze, and many of them perished. I fear today that that's what most is happening, that people just want to kind of gaze up on it. I've said before, and I'll say again, that people have gotten too familiar with God, if I can use that term. They just have brought God down to be some creature that they can just handle. Do this and do that. We need this. We need that. And we need the other. Always, instead of giving thanks, they're always got some request, it seems like. And they've got just two for me, little Jesus. That we went through this movement, I don't remember how many years ago, quite a while back. It was another one of those movements. And they were saying, well, what would Jesus do? That everything he did, well, what would Jesus do? Just bringing him down. And they can't, we still cannot understand, even though we've studied and studied, we can't understand the greatness of God. The height, the width. We just cannot, man in his natural state, in this flesh, I'm talking about, he cannot understand all the attributes of God. He is so far above man that we can't ascend unto him in no fashion in this world and in this life. We cannot see him truly as he is. We hear it over and over. We hear it. But we can't quite grasp it. The more we look at it, the further we think sometimes we are from it. Because there is nothing that expands like God when you study him, when you look. But he didn't want them to just come over and take a glimpse of it, look at it. He wanted them to get fully involved in the work. In 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, I guess verse 8. Now they had brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple and setting it up, and all the other instruments of worship they were bringing them in. And then they drew out the staves out of the Ark. They drew out the staves, and the end of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle. And they were not seen without. And there they are until this day, speaking of his day. But if you can picture this, they'd set the Ark of the Covenant where it's going to go. And it was behind the veil that hung across to separate the most holy place from the holy place. And they've pulled the staves out of side that they carried them with, and it's sticking out of the veil into the holy place. We'll see more in a minute. There was nothing in the ark save the tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, and the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. It was completely full, so much so that they couldn't see to minister. It was plenty dark. Then spake Solomon. The Lord said that he would dwell in thick darkness. The staves that we just read about was sticking out under the veil so the priests could come and it would guide them up to the Ark of the Covenant. You got two rails here to lead them up so they could minister. Their ministry wasn't cut short, so they could follow up to the mercy seat to minister. But the Lord gonna dwell in thick darkness. That's what he said. That's what he does. It kind of leads us back to the Garden of Eden when man fell from his state of being able to speak with God personally. Lord put him out of the Garden of Eden. And he didn't just do that, but at the east gate, he put the cherubim and a flaming sword to keep them. Our God is a consuming fire. And he put a fire at the east gate to keep man from entering back in and partaking of the tree of life. So he hid himself at that point from man. Up until then, he walked with Adam in the garden. But now, he's in darkness, taken away. He moved away from Adam. And Adam first, though, moved away from him. So, he's in thick darkness. Man, I'd like to think today they could just accept, that's the way they put it, accept Jesus Christ at his will at any time. He thinks that he could go up. And it said, like this, think not that you can go up into heaven and bring God down, or you can go into the deep and bring God up. That's the reason man can't accept Jesus, because of these thoughts. But if he ever gets in his head, gets it straight that he can't do that, that he cannot go and get God and bring him down to him, then he'll be getting in the position where the Lord might save him. Other than that, his old pride is holding him up, and he will not let it down until the Lord brings him down. Said he'd he had dwelled in thick darkness. So we can't see him. And Moses and the people saw no similitude of him even in the mount when he come down to meet with the people. And then when they go in to the temple, into the most holy place, and had to go in with blood, offer a sacrifice, have an intercessor to come in. In the book of Hebrews, then, we see more of the same thing, but it's under a different time. It's in our time. First chapter, verse 1, he said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now he just spake to them. He didn't come show himself to them. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now man did see the Son. They hadn't seen the Father, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by his power, by his word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now Jesus Christ was the express image of God. And he came in the flesh. And men saw him in the flesh. But do you think they really saw the spirit of him? He was always teaching and teaching and teaching. Some did find that spirit, but not visually. We still cannot see in our natural, worldly state Christ Jesus. We have record of him. We know he come. We know all those things. And yet, you and I have not seen him either. Still, he dwells in darkness. Now, it's always been that we could see him through his word. He was the express image. But it's always been that God chose that he would use man to tell his people. Moses talked with God, but he didn't see him. Heard him. All the people heard him. That's the reason he brought them up to the mountain, that they might hear. But they weren't going to see him. So we need to be careful that we recognize who he is. His glory is such it would kill any one of us should we see him in his full glory. We see a little part of it in our world around us today. All the amazing things that we see, even man. What wonder and what glory that we can see. But we can't see the fullness of it. In the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I guess verse 22, we could read a lot further, but in almost all things, or by the law. That's what Moses is doing up in the mountain, by the way, getting the law, bring it down to the people. Purged with blood and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary. You understand, it was necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these that they offered back in the tabernacle and in the temple under the old covenant. But it was necessary that the patterns, when he's talking about building the temple, give them a pattern, a whole plan. And then he cautioned them, severely cautioned them, and said, see that you build it exactly according to the pattern. The pattern. What is the pattern? The express image of God is the true pattern of the church. It's what we must look to build it. Stone upon stone, exactly like a temple. Just one stone at a time. Put together, bring it all together. But see that you do it according to the pattern that speaks unto us in our day. He said, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the truth. It's the pattern. But in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, we must have an intercession. We still can't approach unto God ourselves. Must be an intercessor that goes in before us. And the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. What is that veil? Lord Jesus Christ. We must enter in to the most holy place through Him. The pattern, the true pattern that was set for man that he might also enter in. But He is our high priest, and we are priests also. We enter in through the veil, which is Jesus Christ, to the mercy seat. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest that entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end, talking about our day now, in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So, once again, God dwells in darkness. We can't enter in ourselves, but we must enter in through the veil. In the 12th chapter, then, in verse 18, said, for a year not come unto the mount that might be touched before they couldn't touch it. They were cautioned not to touch it. Don't even let the animal go touch it. Nothing. Don't let it touch the mountain. Why? Because it'll kill you. But ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. It was killing them. They couldn't stand it. Then it told Moses that you go talk to God and come tell us, but we don't want to hear God anymore. Now he's got into blackness and darkness again. We don't want to hear. But Moses, you go talk to him. You tell us what he said and we'll do it. And that will go back to that once again. Do this and live. No, they couldn't. It was death. Man, one must die to live. And they could not endure that which was commanded. Couldn't do it. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned and thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And I think this is pretty much the way man must come through the veil to God, with fear and trembling, to enter in to God Almighty. He said, but you can't come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, because they have entered in to the mercy seat. Where are you going to find mercy? The only place is mercy seat. You got to go in through the veil to the mercy seat. That's where it's available. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. And he spoke to all the people. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, talking about his ministry, Jesus Christ's ministry on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So he spoke. In this word, let's see in verse 26, Bathskip, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promise, saying, yet once more shall I not shake the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yes, once more signifies removing of those things that are shaken as if things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom, the kingdom, which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Come unto Him with fear and shake Him. That's the only way to come to Him. You can't come to Him in your high-minded, self-righteous state like you're trying to do today. Like they've always tried to do. The Israelite people set about to establish their own righteousness. And we're not any different today. That's what we do. That's what man does. Guess what? We need to go back to the book of Isaiah then. The 60th chapter. In verse 1, he said, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee," you and I. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rise." Now, we're beginning to see just a little glimpse of God. We see the light. It was ordained that He had saved men through the foolishness of preaching. So that's the way we see God today. He said, "Lift up thine eyes round about and see." See, where are you going to see? The glory of the Lord. What is it that we glory in today? It must be in the Lord, if anything. "All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see." Again, all is seeing, and we still don't see the Lord. We saw no similitude of Him. How are we going to paint a picture of Him? "Then thou shalt see and flow together." We're going to be made one, and thine heart shall fear. What? Fear. "And be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." That's you and I. "And the multitudes of camels shall cover thee, and the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." So we see through the preaching of the gospel. We see not the Lord Himself, but His glory. His glory, it keeps shining forth. So we're always looking in the Word of the Lord that we might see His glory, and not only see it, but be made whole by it. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ shines forth.